place for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I, be born in me, be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. Beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. All this time we've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected, so we might know that love would go that far? Be born in me, be born in me. Trembling heart, that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. I am not brave, be the only thing my heart can offer is a vacancy. I'm just a girl, nothing more, but I am willing and I am yours. Beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me.
Have you ever heard someone say something, and what you heard was close, but not what they said? The other day, Melanie and I were talking in the kitchen, and I was doing the dishes, and she was standing next to me, and I said to her, I said, Melanie, can you dry these? And in the other room, Jillian heard something different than what I said. She said, driving. Where are we driving to? She's 17 with her permit and can't wait to drive. Anytime there's driving involved, she wants to go driving. And so driving's on her mind, and drying dishes sounds like driving, yeah. You've heard different things like this, and I'm sure you've confused some things before or heard people confuse some things. And probably tonight as you came in and saw me up front, you thought, I'm confused about tonight. What happened to Pastor? He's got a suit on. Well, we're breaking traditions is our series, right? And so I'm breaking a tradition tonight. Don't worry. I'll go back to our regular scheduled way of dressing for church on Sunday. And I will wear jeans and a shirt, and we'll be fine. But I just felt like wearing a suit tonight. Is that all right? I almost gave Bob a heart attack when he came in, and I'm not sure what to say about that. There's a lot of confusion over Christmas, though, too. Do you know that? There really is. If I were to ask you, and we were to do a survey, like Family Feud style, where survey says, right, and you survey 100 people or however many people they survey to get their answers, and I were to ask, what's the most important thing about Christmas? What would they say? What do you think? Kids would say presents. What else? Santa Claus. Giving decorations. And what's the church answer?
Jesus.
Okay, good. We got that straight. All right, we're talking about Jesus is what we're talking about. Okay, I got it. All right. But here's the reality. There's a ton of confusion over Christmas. And I agree. Most kids would say presents. Presents. The reality is, they get sad if they don't get what they want, or excited when they get what they want, and when they're surprised, it's like, wow, this is great. It kind of changes the tone of the day. The next day, as a matter of fact, if you're a teenager, people put all kinds of things. It's not even the next day. They Snapchat, oh, look what I got for Christmas, and look how this was, and it's either high or low. It's about presents, right? In the first Christmas, it would have been something different, however. And I want to go back and remind us of that tonight. In Luke chapter 2, you can follow along with me if you want, and if not, then I'm just going to read it to you. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son." This is Mary giving birth to her firstborn son, "and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." The manger, by the way, a good place to lay a precious little baby. Ladies, would you be okay with this kind of an atmosphere? Let's go to the hospital. No, let's not go to the hospital. Hey, I see a horse farm over there. Let's just go over there. We'll clean out the feeding trough a little bit and just take the baby and put the baby there. You good? This is reality. God's directing Mary and Joseph to go to this place where she's going to give birth to the Son of God, and then they're going to take Jesus, the Son of God, and they're going to wrap him in swaddling clothes, swaddle him there, and then lay him there in the manger. The next verse then, it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night." So down the way, here's a place where shepherds are there, they're keeping watch. Shepherds, by the way, would be in that culture. They're not the elite. They actually would be the ones that are down here. They're just not the ones that you'd go and be excited to see. Matter of fact, they smell funny and stuff. They're out in the field keeping watch over the flock. It's nighttime. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord is this shining, amazing moment that they're able to see into God just for this moment. And says, "And they were filled with fear." Listen, how would you feel if you're there out in the field and all of a sudden this bright light is shining, the glory of the Lord is apparent, you see this angel there. What would you do? Excited? Happy? Nervous? Which emotion would you have? Would you need to change your pants later on? Fair enough? Okay, and it says, "They were filled with fear. The angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" Right, I'm not going to fear this. Look, this is craziness. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. Here's the sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Where? Now, put this into context. If you're a shepherd and you see an angel, glory of the Lord, and this angel starts speaking to you and says, this special person, the Messiah, has come. The one that's been prophesied about for thousands of years is now here. And here's the deal. You're going to find him in this place, and here's how you're going to find him. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Number one, would you have any red flags with this? The one that you've been looking forward to seeing for thousands of years is now being born how? In a good place or a bad place? Yeah, okay. And by the way, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and where is he? Lying in a manger. And the angel says, this is your sign. This is a sign just for you. I want you to know that this is an angel of God that's speaking. There's no mistaking this. This is God that's sending a message to you so that you can know that this special being, this special one, the Son of God, is born. Now what would you do? This is in next verse, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. What would you do? Honestly, I would look over and be like, hey, Fred, yo, man, what did you put in the canteen tonight? This is a little messed up. I mean, this is a weird night. I've never experienced anything like this. That's probably how most of us would be, right? This is odd. Listen, when God shows up and does something incredible, we often look and say, that's just kind of weird. And God's into doing weird things. God's into doing extraordinary things. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, guys, I got this crazy notion. I think we should take a break from shepherding here. Could you see the conversation? Let's go over to Bethlehem, says, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They want to confirm what they've just seen. They want to know whether this is real or not. They don't want to be confused. They want to know whether this is absolutely right. Verse 16 says, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. It's just exactly how they were told. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Do you think Mary and Joseph would have needed that encouragement that night? This would have been a rough night for them, all alone in the worst place they could have imagined to be. Scared, alone. It says, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were just marveling. Wow, can you believe this? We never met these shepherds before. They come in here. They say, an angel of the Lord appeared to us and said, you're going to find this babe, this special one, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We come here. We look inside the manger. We're expecting donkeys, sheep, or whatever. We look inside this stable, I'm sorry, and here's this couple with this precious child, Jesus. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Then it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You see, the confusion had been clarified for them. Can I change the wording around? We often will say, right, we agreed already, if we are doing the survey, the number one answer, the one that gets 46 points, okay, is what? Presence. What if we were to change everything around because we misunderstood? And it's about presence, about his presence. When the shepherds walked away that night, they walked away a little bit excited. They walked away praising God and glorifying God. They walked away totally changed that night. They walked away saying, "Can you believe what happened tonight? This is absolutely just, my mind is blown. He chose me to be able to go see this child. We walked into that. You remember what Mary and Joseph, they looked up at us. They thought we were going to rob them or something like that. You remember Mary's face? Man, she was in bad shape already. Her hair was like, wah. And man, can you imagine? This is the greatest thing ever. Who can we tell? We got to tell everybody, this is what happened to us tonight. What were they excited about? What present did they receive? They received the presence of God. They were able to walk into a situation where the presence of God was there, where they could see the flesh and bones of God being born as fully man and fully God. They got to witness a miracle that night. You see, Christmas is really all about the presence of God. It's not about presents. Now, I won't take the fun out of opening the presents away. But here's what I will do. I'll say much better than all of the presents that you could get is his presence in our life. Here's why. I often talk to people about Jesus and talk to people about what they think of religion and things like that. And I find a lot of times, the other day I was, Tuesday. My days are messed up. This week, earlier in the week, I went to Chick-fil-A and met with this guy that I've been talking to, and we sat down, and it was about a three-hour conversation that we were walking through some things, and he said to me this thing that I've heard so many times, and you've heard it too. He said, "Here's what I think. All roads lead to heaven." I mean, as long as you have some sort of a belief in God, the end result is you're going to be with God. It's kind of like this, and here's what he said. It's kind of like climbing up a mountain. I mean, if you climb up a mountain, so, you know, John goes over there, and Joe's over here, and Steve and Frank and, you know, Elizabeth or whoever, and we're around, and we climb up the mountain. We get to the same part. So we go different paths. We have different walks, and we see different scenery. We all climb up the mountain, and eventually, we all end up at the same spot with God. And my response is, man, that's really, really cool. I get it. I get what you're saying. I said, and I know. Every religion believes that. Every religion believes that all you got to do is climb up the mountain and all roads lead there. You just got to go up the mountain. And here's my response. Here's my response. You ready? My God, the God of this Bible, the one that I've been reading and studying about for a long time now, here's what he did. He came down the mountain to me. Isn't that cool? He came to me. I don't have to climb up the mountain, and it's not all roads lead there. It's nothing like that. He came to me. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to come to earth. He sent his son to us. There's no other religion you'll find that says that God came to man to be able to die and pay for man so that man could be with them. There is no other religion. Here's Jesus Christ, the one that God's son, and the one the Bible talks about. He came to us as a little baby, paying for our sin through his death, burial, and resurrection, living an absolutely perfect life. So that, as we talked about this past Sunday, so that those that believe in him will be saved. Saved from eternity without him. Do all roads lead to heaven? Why in the world would he come down and do all of that if all roads led to heaven? Doesn't make sense. It's a totally illogical. It's like, hey, Jesus, that was really nice what you did there, but that was just a nice thing to do. The Bible says he is the only way. You see, Christmas is about his presence. That's what changes everything, his presence. It's all about his salvation and what he has done for us. So God comes and says, believe in me. This really is the greatest gift ever. And for tonight, many of you would say, yeah, I know. And here's what I'm doing. I'm reminding you of how great God is. He came to us. He came to us. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a momentary choice of the heart with your mind understanding who he is and what he's done and your heart saying, I surrender. I believe what you've done. You've done it for me. You came for me, and I surrender. It starts right there. It says those that believe in him will be saved. You'll have everlasting life. Now, here's the cool thing. After you accept Jesus, it's not over. That's not it. That's not like, okay, I accepted Jesus and now we're all done. Now what are we going to do? We'll show up for church here and there. We'll be nice to people and everything. And it's kind of, we'll put that WWJD thing. No, that's not it. Here's the awesome thing. He still wants to be present in our lives. He still wants to be present in our lives. Matthew chapter 1, when the angel is talking to Mary, he says, here's his name. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, just to pick out one out of really hundreds of times in the Bible where it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He wants to be there with us all the time. No matter what we're going through, tonight may represent a night where you're like, man, I can't wait till this preacher's done because we got some presents to have and I get the presence of God. That's awesome. We're going to pray before we do. That's all good, but I can't wait to get to the... I know. And you're like, preacher, hurry it up. I'm trying. But then there's some others that are like, I just can't wait till this holiday season's over. I'm going through a hard time. I'm really struggling. My emotions are just ripped in two. I feel like I'm going all over the place, and I'm trying to just stay settled, and I can't wait for this to be over because I miss so-and-so. I want to be with and have all this turmoil going on inside. And Psalm 46 says that he is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. He's there with us. He doesn't want to be far away. Here's where God is. If he came down the mountain for us, he is then still with us and wants to be there for us and with us. He wants a relationship, not a religious observation. He wants a relationship with us. That's why he came. So you say, okay, how do you have a relationship with God? Revelation chapter 3, it records, behold, I stand at the door. This is what Jesus is saying. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That sounds like a relationship, right? I want to come over and have dinner with you. And here's the reality. Here's what he's doing. He's knocking. Are you there? Right? He's knocking. He's knocking on the door of our hearts. And he's saying, listen, I know the pain you're in. I sense, I can see what you're going through. I can see the good times. I can see the bad. I know what's going on. And I'm knocking. Will you open your heart to me? Will you open your heart to me? Here's where a relationship begins. It begins by opening up your heart to him and saying, God, I need you. I need you. So here's how it looks then. You say, okay, I get that, and I've said that, and you know what? God didn't come. Here's how it was supposed to work. When I prayed for God to do something, he was supposed to miraculously, I'm thinking like an angel showed up to shepherds, and they weren't expecting it, so an angel should show up to me and wherever I'm at, and they should like have a special message and do something, right? Have you ever thought that? I've said that straight out loud to God. I've said straight out loud to God, God, you spoke to people in the Old Testament. You spoke to people throughout. Well, I need you to speak to me right now. I need your presence in this situation right now. Have you been there? And then I remember sitting there and almost being angry because he didn't say anything. The angel wasn't there. The angel didn't show up. There was no voice. The thunder didn't. There was nothing. silence. Where is God when there's silence? When we're crying out to him and saying, God, I need you. So during those moments, I began to start studying, saying, okay, God, I trust that you're here, so I need to understand this. How in the world does this work? So I went back and I looked at Abraham. He was one of the examples. When I looked at Abraham, Abraham comes and he speaks to God, speaks to Abraham directly and says, you're going to have a son, and this is what's going to happen, and what an exciting time. And then all of a sudden, God leaves, and there's nothing. We don't see a relationship that continues really for years then. There's this huge gap of time. And then God shows up again and says, hey, by the way, I'm going to remind you of this. And then there's another gap. When I look at the Israelites and I see the Israelites and the journey that they had as they walked out of Egypt, and they had all these crazy miracles that are happening, and they can see God present. Could you imagine walking across the sea, and it was dry land, and all the water's up like this, like walls, and you're just walking through, like, wow, this is incredible. Do you know what happened with Israel? 2 months later, they're saying, okay, where's God? What's the deal? You brought us out here to die? The presence of God wasn't felt. It wasn't real. They struggled. As I walk through and I see time and time again of people throughout the Bible that struggled, even John the Baptist struggled. I look and I say, okay, the presence of God is something a little bit different than having something that's on my shoulder always talking to me. Than kind of having this imaginary friend that I'm like hanging out with, right? The presence of God is understanding that it's me continually saying, Lord, I need you. And taking and saying, okay, here's how you've chosen to talk to us. So I'm going to open this up and study and understand who you are. But it's also talking with him in relational type of a prayer. That I'm saying, God, I need you, and here's what I'm going through in my life. And or God, man, I don't want to forget about you because things are going so great right now. I'm on top of the world. It's just incredible what's going on. And then allowing him to speak to us. And there's times where I just know that God is speaking in my heart and my mind about different things, and I just know that's the presence of God. And then there's times where I feel like, where's God? I mean, listen, I'm the preacher, right? I should have all together, and I should be speaking to God every single day, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Well, here's the reality. Sometimes it seems like you're out in a wilderness. It seems like you're God, where are you? By the way, when you read through the book of Psalms, you find the man after God's own heart, David, saying the same thing. God, hear my prayer. God, where are you? I need you right now. Show up. I need you. But then you find at the end of the psalm him always saying, God's there. I just couldn't see him there. And he worked through this. Wow, that was amazing. So can I just encourage you? Christmas is about his presence. It's about his presence. Can you make it that today? And walking in tomorrow, how do you do that? Well, start by being with him. Maybe if you're able to, with your family, say, you know what, let's just talk to God prior to doing our thing, and not in some kind of weird, like, strange, but just, hey, God, thank you for this day. This is your birthday. We're celebrating. Maybe sing happy birthday to him. Crazy thought. Different things to say. God, just, I'm open. You're knocking, I'm open. Do a work in me. And sometimes you're not sure if he's there and such, and if you're outside today, you felt something interesting. You felt the wind. Right? Anybody see the wind today? I didn't see it, but I felt the effects of it, and I saw the wind blowing different things. Sometimes you can't even feel the wind blowing because it seems so still. There's hot summer days where there's no wind at all. You're like, man, I could use some wind right now. Sometimes the presence of God is like that. It's like the wind where sometimes it's like, whoosh, but then other times he's so silent. It's not that he's not there. It's that I just can't feel him at that moment. So let me just encourage you that we go just like the shepherds, where they went and they left there glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They experienced the presence of God. Can I encourage you to experience the presence of God simply by opening the door of your heart to Him? And let's do that tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you will do. Lord, we've often made it about presence, but so much greater is your presence in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one tonight. Some are going through a very challenging time, and tonight is just difficult, and tomorrow. And Lord, I pray especially for those that you would give them grace and strength during this time. Lord, I pray that your presence would be known and that they would not depend on anything else to take them away from you. And Lord, in each of our lives, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to guide us to you. Help us at every moment to open our heart to you. And as you use circumstances to knock on our door, Lord, may we open our lives to you so much more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.